Today we complete the 90-day Paschal season that celebrates the Paschal mystery, the dying and rising of Christ, and the way in which that's a pattern for all of reality, and particularly for us humans. It's an invitation to enter into that death and resurrection ourselves, and we've been reflecting for 50 days now on what exactly that resurrected life is and what it means. And so the breath of the Spirit, the wind, the driving wind in that first reading is about creation. So many of the stories in the Bible about creation and recreation. And in the book of Genesis, when it describes creation, the Spirit of God breathes over the waters and dries them up so that there's dry land, a safe place for humans to dwell. This is the beginning of the creation stories that are in the Bible, told over and over again in different ways. And so in Genesis, God creates over 6 days and then rests on the seventh day. That's the week. And we celebrate Easter for a week of weeks. 7 times 7 is 49, plus 1 is 50. And that's where we find ourselves today. So this is a creation story. In Christ and in the Holy Spirit, humanity, indeed all of creation, is recreated, fashioned in God's image and likeness. Now, God never stops creating. It's been going on for 14 billion years already, and we don't know how much longer it's going to be before the final resolution of all things. But this creative activity of God is, the breath of the Spirit just keeps breathing. It's been breathing for all eternity, breathing life, love, peace. So in this new creation, there are three characteristics that are mentioned in that gospel story. What does this new creation look like? Well, first of all, it's peace. Jesus appears to them in the upper room, and twice in this story, he says, "Peace be with you." He's offering the peace that only God can give. This is not armistice. This is not the absence of war, peacetime. This is the peace that is within each of us, that calmness, that peace that only God can give. And it comes at a cost. You have to lay down your life. You have to reconcile. And that's the second thing that is characteristic of this new creation, is reconciliation. We are reconciled with God, but we're also reconciled with one another. And part of the cost of that peace is that we have to forgive each other. Peace doesn't come from each of us becoming perfect. It comes from our forgiving each other for being imperfect. It comes from our willingness to offer reconciliation and forgiveness even before it's asked, or even before it's deserved. You see, God forgave us before we knew we needed redemption. God forgave us in Christ on the cross without our even having asked for it. And in the sacrament of reconciliation, this is a celebration of Christ's forgiveness that was already there before we even knew that we needed to ask for forgiveness. So it's this peace, this reconciliation is unilateral. It's not bilateral. It doesn't wait for the other to make the first move. It makes the first move, just like God does. God makes the first move in Israel. God reconciles with us in Christ before we asked. God always makes the first move, and we respond with faith. But in that gospel again, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We are commissioned to offer that peace and that reconciliation to one another, to make the first move, to offer it before it's deserved, before it's asked for, just because we are members of Christ's body. And then the third characteristic of this new creation is the Spirit. He breathes His Spirit on them. The Spirit is the unifying agent within the Godhead, in the Trinity, God is love. But you can't love unless there's someone to love. There has to be a beloved. And so the Father loves the Son. And if there is a lover and a beloved, then there has to be the love that is between them, and that's the Holy Spirit. These are insights from St. Augustine back in the 4th century. So in that triune relationship, that dance of love that has been going on for all eternity, we are invited to be drawn up into that love. And we're, by the breath of the Spirit, we are recreated into this divine way of being. Now, sometimes we talk here about the timelessness of God, which is difficult for us to imagine because we are so locked in time, in chronological time, one moment after the other. But for God, all time is one. This 14 billion years that have gone by, it's just a snap of the fingers in God's infinity. And so all time is now. So when Jesus talks about this recreation, he's talking about the realized kingdom at the end of time that's already present in him. And when he breathes the Spirit on them, he's not breathing the Spirit of the present day, he's breathing the Spirit of the end. And when we celebrate the liturgy, we're not just celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago, and we're not just celebrating who we are now, we're also celebrating who we will be in the end, because time collapses here. And so in that first reading, this miracle happens. All of these men, these apostles, they're Galileans, and they're speaking in their own tongue, and yet all of these people, and you notice the list of people, it's people from every known region at that time. In other words, the whole world. The whole world understands them in their own language. This is not just some miracle that happened. This is eschatological language. This is language of the end times. This is language of the realized kingdom. The realized kingdom just collapsed right into their present moment. And so this unity that we humans can't achieve was achieved by grace. And this understanding in the midst of all the misunderstanding and the divisions and the angers and the resentments and all that kind of stuff, it just is wiped away by the crashing into our present moment of the future glory. And so despite the fact that we're all different here, and despite the fact that we don't all agree with each other politically or theologically or however, and despite the fact that we're not all the same color and we don't all come from the same cultures, all that collapses into unity in this Eucharistic moment. The Spirit is called down upon the bread and wine in a prayer that makes them so one with Christ that they become his body and blood. And the Holy Spirit is invoked upon us so that we would become so one with Christ that we are his body. Despite our sins, despite our differences, all of that goes away in this moment. And one of the things that gives us the courage to go out and be sent into the world is because we have experienced this moment here. This is not just talk. This is real. This is really the body and blood of Christ. We are really Christ's body. We are really in union with God. We are really reconciled and at peace. And we celebrate forgiveness in a way that's divine, that goes beyond what's deserved in this life, because it comes from God.